Exodus, I'm sorry, Genesis 25. Go there with me. Genesis 25. I've been reading Genesis just for my own enjoyment and profit. And as you know, we've gone through a few things here and came to this chapter 25. Did not intend to deal with this as a type of Christ, but it so blessed me that I thought it would be good for us to look at it. Read verses 19 through 23 with me, Genesis 25. These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, Syrian, Padanaram, sister to Laban, Syrian. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. She had twins, you know. And she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And the elder shall serve the younger." This is another type of Christ who is Isaac, the beloved son, and all of his people are his bride. But this is such a good picture of salvation. What happens to everyone whom Christ is formed within? When the Son of God, he said, "They shall hear my voice." Christ is the seed, isn't it? When he knows us, whom he did foreknow, he comes to in time and reveals himself to and implants the seed, the word of truth, the gospel within every dead sinner that he's chosen, and they live, they have life in them, like Rebekah, and they have two manner of people in them, and then the war begins, the struggle began. That's what this is all about. Now, this story begins with the father and his beloved son, doesn't it? In verses 19 and 20, these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old, a grown man. This is the father and his beloved son. Salvation, the word, the gospel, the truth, the Bible is all about God who sent his beloved son into the world to save sinners, a people given to Christ in a covenant before the world began. God the Father. God had one begotten, only begotten, well-beloved son, didn't it? The Lord said that to Abraham, "Take now thy son, thine only son." He said it twice, didn't he? "Whom thou lovest, and offer him on a mount as a burnt offering unto me." That's Christ. Isaac represents Christ. He was the son of promise. God promised Abraham a son, didn't it? And Abraham waited and waited. And God cannot lie. That son is coming. He's going to come, son of promise. Well, Abraham, you remember, thought, "We can't wait." Hagar and Sarah said, "We need to do something." So they, together, they got with Hagar and produced a son. That's of the flesh, isn't it? God rejected him. That's not the promised one. That's not the Son of God, what you do. This son's going to be, this is the son I promised. Christ was called the woman's seed, wasn't it? The promised one. Isaac was a miracle because Sarah was barren. Sarah was barren. Sarah was old. Sarah was, what, 89 years old? That's not possible for a woman that age who's barren to have a child. Well, she did. And she laughed. And that's another story. She said, "God has made me laugh." That's what Isaac means, laughter. And she had a son, her old miracle son. Well, Christ is born of a virgin, a miracle. Behold, he said, I'll show you a sign in Isaiah 7. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. This is the Son of God. The only Son. Only Son. Christ is the only begotten. As said, Ishmael was a son that Abraham and Sarah and Hagar got together and produced. But Christ is the only Son of God, and so was Isaac. Look at verse 4 of Isaiah, Genesis 25. Verse 4 says, the sons of Midian, and Ephah and Epher and Hanok and Abida and Eldad, these are all the children of Keturah. These were his, they were called his wife. But verse 6, it says they were sons of the concubines. These were illegitimate children. Ishmael was not Abraham's son. These weren't Abraham's son. Were they? Abraham had one son. And God, through a miracle, produced this son. Didn't it? Isaac. And Jesus Christ is God's only son. And all his other sons come from him and him alone. You understand it? He's the seed, and we are his seed. He shall see his seed and be satisfied. That's Christ in one. And we're the seed, not the flesh, children of the flesh, but the children of the promise, children of the woman's seed, Christ. You understand that, don't you? Is that important? That's true. All right? So Isaac was the miracle son, the only son. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Christ are the people of God called and numbered with him. All give. And look at verse 5 of chapter 25. Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. It says in verse 6, he gave some gifts to these others. And God's tender mercies are over all his works. And what does anyone have they have not received from the hands of our Father? He's not their Father, but he is their God, and he's good. And his tender mercies are over all. And he gives everything, everything that the sons of men have, God gave it to them. But he gave everything to one son, Isaac, didn't he? John the Baptist said, the Father loveth the Son, hath given all things into his hand. Christ said, as thou hast given me power over all flesh. He said, come. He said, God hath given me authority over all. Come unto me. All fullness is in him. All salvation is in him. All riches are in him. All mercy, all grace, everything is in his hands. You come to Christ, he's the heir of all things, and you'll be a joint heir with him. Isaac had it up. All right? Isaac had a son, that a bride given to him. Look at verse 20. Isaac was 40 years old. He took Rebekah to wife. Now, you know the story, don't you? It's wonderful. Right before this, chapter 24. Go back there. Chapter 24. Right before this is the story of Abraham telling his servant to go find a bride for my son, Isaac. You know the story, don't you? Look at chapter 24, verse 4. Thou shalt go unto my country, my kindred, and take a wife. Thou shalt take a wife unto my son. This is the father saying to the servant, go to my people, God's chosen people, God's elect in him, and you will take a bride for my son. They'll be my son's bride. Sounds awful certain, doesn't it? Sounds like the Father is just ordering this, purposing all things. Sounds like it's sure to come to pass. It is. This bride was betrothed by the Father. Betrothed. Arranged. This marriage was arranged. It's, you know, true marriage is made in heaven. It really is. And what God joins together, will no man will ever put asunder. The bride of Christ from the Son. But the Father betrothed this bride to him. Well, the servant represents the preacher of the gospel, doesn't it? That old servant. He never gives his name. Never tells his name in his church. Why? Because it's not important. Not at all. Who's important? The Son. And he goes down, and that servant goes down to find this bride. Where is she?
She's in a heathen land.
He said in Ezekiel 36, your father was a Hittite, your mother was a Hivite. You're a heathen, you're a Gentile. In sin did your mother conceive you. Heathen. That's right. But God said, they're my people, Gentile. But he sent this servant who represents a preacher of the gospel. And he said in verse 7, the Father said, the Lord God of heaven will send his angel, and you will take a bride for my son. And I have to be careful not to get stuck here in this chapter. But this servant didn't go down there and ask anybody who wanted to be a bride, did he? He didn't offer Isaac to anybody. In fact, Abraham said before this, you're not going to bring my son down there. You're going to bring her to him. See, Isaac had already been offered on that mountain. Now he's a 40-year-old man. He ain't begging for a wife. And he's not offered to anybody and everybody. But the Father said, you will take a bride. And the angel of God is the Holy Spirit of God, who takes a servant of God, a preacher of the gospel, with the gospel of Christ. And all his servant did, you know the story, all his servant did was say, my master has a son, and he hath given him everything. And he's altogether lovely. And he gave her some tokens of all that he said, in his hand were all the master's goods. All of them? Did he have everything to show to her? Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's some of them. So these are the things in my master. She was sought by the servant, by the angel of the Lord. She was bought. There were some gifts given to her. She was brought. She was brought. She was taught. The long trip and all the way. You know what they were talking about? The Son. Now, what's he like again? Rebecca would say, what's he like? But before that, she's with her family. And the servant said, I can't eat. I can't tarry. I came here for one reason, to tell my story, to tell my errand, sent by my master, sent by the Father to find a bride for his beloved son. Now, this is my story. And they came to her and said, Rebecca, will you go with this man? Will you go with this man to meet this son of Abraham whom you've never met before, whom you've never seen? You know what she said? I'll go. Immediately, she said, I'll go. And packed her goods and left her father and her mother and her house and her kindred to go to a play to see a man she'd never seen before. God made her willing right there. And thy people, Psalm 110, says that shall be willing in the day of thy power. What is the power of God? The gospel. What is the gospel? Concerning God's Son. Now, God hath given all things in his hand, and God hath given him, Christ, a bride, and they will come to him. But you know what about that bride, every one of them? They're barren. Look at verse 21 in our text. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. We have some women in here barren, never had children. Well, that's okay. If you have Christ in you, you don't need children. Oh my, Christ is all. But you know, the principal women in the children in the covenant all were barren, every one of them. Sarah is barren. Rebecca said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? Sarah's Abraham's wife was barren, Sarah. Isaac's wife, Rebecca, was barren.
Jacob's wife, Rachel, was barren.
Hannah was barren. And on it goes. Now, she was barren, okay? But she was given to Isaac. And she's going to get life from Isaac. She's barren. Isaac, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because he was barren. And the Lord gave her life. How? Why? Through Isaac's prayer. She was given life. And Christ, why do we live? When does salvation come to one of God's elect? When God says so. See, the Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and thou canst not tell the sound thereof. When is the seed planted? When is conception take place? We don't know, do we? God does that. But as soon as that seed is implanted, life comes. What is the seed? It's crying. It's His Word. He said, my sheep want to hear my voice. He said, I'm going to call them from death to life. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses. How were you quickened? The seed came. The gospel came. Yes. Oh, you're just preaching a sermon. Yes, I am. But God takes this word, this message, this same old message of Christ and Him crucified, and implants it in a dead heart. And if God, in the fullness of time, if they're one of God's own, He's going to open blind eyes, deaf ears. They're going to hear what they've never heard before. Who? They're going to see whom they've never seen before. They're going to feel what they've never felt before. Salvation's a miracle. Natural birth is a miracle, isn't it? Mindy and I thought, like so many young people, we'll wait a while and then we'll have children. Huh. It's not up to you to decide it. Is it? We got the things to do and places to go and people to see, and then we'll decide, then we'll have children. It doesn't work that way. God says, I make alive. We found that out, didn't we? And we finally thought, Mandy's barren. And she was, wasn't she? Well, so we both submitted to that. There's nothing we can do. If the Lord gives us a child, it's His will. It was His will. See, and salvation's a miracle. Birth is a miracle, isn't it? Conception is a miracle. That's when it began. And they say that the heart beats after, 16 days or something like that, or less? Somebody tell me. It's real soon. The heart starts beating. That's how you know there's life in there. Salvation's a heart work. Salvation's a miracle. Mandy and I were talking about some that we have a great burden for. And, with man, it's impossible. It's I preach sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. I can't convince anybody of anything. I can't break anybody's heart. I can't give eyes to anybody. I can't give ears to anybody. I can't do it. God alone must and can. It's a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. One person has their heart broken over sin. It's a miracle. If one person sees their need of Christ, it's a miracle of God. It's a miracle of God's grace. An undeserved miracle. You're looking at a miracle. I am a miracle of God's grace. They said of me when I was a teenager, he's hopeless. That's right. But God, it's a miracle. You have loved ones, don't you, that you think they're so hard-hearted? They're so steeped in this world. Young people, the world has them in bondage and captivity, and they won't hear a word you say. They don't hear a word that I say. They won't hear. They're barren. They're dead. They're lifeless, and no human being can convince them otherwise. Oh, but God. Sometimes, bless His holy name, in time, takes that young person that sat there for so long, hard-hearted, can't wait to get out of here, and a miracle of God's grace comes. Christ speaks to them, And they're hearing his voice. And that old proud heart begins to break. And those blind eyes begin to see. And those deaf ears begin to hear. He's talking to me. Yes, I'm the sinner. Oh, is Christ the Savior? I need Christ. Oh, I never needed him before. But I need him now. You reckon God will have mercy on this sinner? That's a miracle. I pray for a miracle to happen in our midst. Well, it did. Isaac came to Rebecca. She can't produce life. She can't give life to herself. There's nothing in her. In her flesh dwelled no life, no seed. She cannot produce life, but Isaac came and knew her like Adam knew his wife Eve and prayed for her. And God sent and put his seed in her. This is a glorious picture of how the salvation begins, isn't it? All right? And she now has life in her. Rebecca's not barren anymore. She has life in her. Her womb was dead. Now it's full of life. Oh, is it full? She has two twins in her. Now this is how you know she has life. Okay? Look at verse 22. The children struggled within her. All of a sudden, one morning, she wakes up and boom. You ladies, many of you have been through it. Boom. Oh, what was that? Boom, boom. And it starts. And for 9 long months. You remember, don't you? Do you remember? Oh, it's, you think, is this ever going to end? The pain, the suffering, the sickness. You have cravings. In this wonderful picture, you have cravings you never had before. You're hungry all the time. Things make you sick. It didn't make you sick before. Isn't that a good picture? Life was then. This world makes you sick. You're never sick before. When this new creature is created in us. There's two persons in her. Verse 22. She said, I believe the Lord has given me life. I believe he's enabled me to conceive. I believe there's life in me. But why is this happening? What is happening to me? Why am I thus? Why is this going on? What is going on within me? Why is this a struggle? I thought when I'd have children, it'd all be just wonderful. Just all just be wonderful for me. As soon as life and see, I thought it's going to be happy, happy, happy all the time. No sickness and pain and suffering. Isn't that what the Lord told Eve in the beginning? And sorrow. See, why is this happening? And she inquired of the Lord. She privately. Isaac entreated the Lord for her, and the Lord gave her life. Okay. Now what's she doing? She's entreating the Lord. You know who's going to be saved? It's who God, who Christ called to the Father for, isn't it? Father, forgive them. That's who he saved. That's whom he implants the gospel. And you know what they do after that? Father, forgive me. They call. They cry. They entreat the Lord. And they say to him, why am I this way? If I belong to you, if I'm a child of God, why am I like I am? I thought all my troubles be over. If you save my soul, have mercy on me. But now it seems like all I do is struggle. Is that you? You see, before Rebecca had life, there was no struggle. It's all just fine. What's she think about? Eating. Drinking, buying, selling, building things and stuff. Now she has two people inside her. There's a war going on. One of them God loves.
other one God hates. One of them is the son, elect of God. The other one's reprobate. One of them's going to live forever. God says, I'm the God of Jacob. The other one said, I'm going to cast him out. One of them is in the covenant. The other one sold his birthright. Right after this, Esau said, I don't want anything to do with God or that birthright. I don't need, just give me a bowl of beans. All I care about is my belly. That's what that old man, that's what Esau said. But Jacob said, I want the birthright. Two manner of people within. Why am I thus? Turn to Romans 7. If you didn't know I was going to turn there, surely you did. Romans 7. Why am I thus? You see, when God, when the salvation comes, and it comes by the Spirit of God, taking the Word of God, the Scripture says we're not born of the will of the flesh or the will of man or blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man. We're born of God. And Christ is the Word, the seed. James 1:18 says, of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And this is the Word which by the gospel is preached to you. So we, the Word of God is sent, the gospel is sent, and when life begins, the struggle begins. Paul said in Romans 5, he said, I was alive without the law, without the Word one time. He said, I thought I was righteous, thought I was good, thought I knew God and this and that and the other. He said, but when the law came, when the Word came, when Christ came, when God, when Christ spoke to me, I died. Paul never had any trouble with his flesh before. He thought he was blameless, didn't he? He said, but when God sent the Word, when Christ spoke to me, my troubles began. He had a thorn in the flesh all his days. And Romans 7 is what every single child of God feels and goes through when the gospel, when Christ knows them and they know Him. Now, verse 14, Romans 7. It says, we know the law is spiritual. We know God is holy. We know Christ is holy and righteous. But I'm carnal. I'm sinful. He didn't think that before, did he? Paul didn't think that. Saul of Tarsus didn't think that. He said, I'm blameless. Now he thinks, I ain't nothing but sin. Now he says, it seems like all I can do is sin. Verse 15, that which I do, I allow not. What I do, I don't want to do. What I do, what I would do, I don't do. What I hate, what I do. What I love, I can't seem to do. What's wrong with me? Why am I thus? Well, but now, verse 16, he said, then if I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. There's this old man in that. That God doesn't remove this old man when he comes to, when new birth takes place. He doesn't remove this old man. He's still there. But 2 Corinthians 6, it says, he's perishing. He's perishing. 2 Corinthians 4 says the outward man's perishing, but the inward man renewed day by day. This old man within us doesn't go away. God doesn't renovate the house. He has to tear it down. Has to kill this old fella. And he's dead and dying is what he is. But he's always there. Always there, struggling. Now, there's a new man created in the image of Christ Jesus. Look at verse 18 of Romans 7. I know that in me, that is, in my flesh,
dwelleth no good thing in me. To will is present with me. How to perform that which is good, I find not. The good that I would, I do not. The evil which I would not, that do I. Now, if I do that, I would not. It's no more I that do it, but sin. This old man that dwelleth in me. Now, Paul's not passing the blame like Adam and Eve. He's taking the blame. He said that in me dwelleth no good thing. Me, nothing good about me. Nothing righteous in me. But now, verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. But I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You see, I see another law warring in my members. There's a new creature created in Christ Jesus, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in God's sight. Created in the image of Christ. He's perfect, he's complete in Christ. A complete man. He's growing, but he's not going to change. He's just maturing, okay? He's being renewed day by day. And someday he's going to bust out of this old body. This old body with the old man going to be laid in the grave forever. And that new man, like a worm, turn into a butterfly. It's going to sprout wings and fly into the face of God. And dwell with him forever. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. And nothing shall defile. No sin ever again. Sinless creatures. Perfect. Just like Jesus Christ. And that old man is gone. Done with. Forever. Not going to be any sin. Struggle with sin ever again. Don't you look forward to that. But right now, in this body, on this earth, we have this law in our members of sin. Verse 21, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity, the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I tell you who he is. I am is. The I am is. Because as he is, so are you. It's this new man. Now go back. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the flesh, serve sin. It seems like all I can do is sin. But with the mind, I love God. Love God. This new man, this new creature. But until then, there's this war going on. That's what the Lord said to Rebekah. We read it in Romans 9, and go back to our text in conclusion, verse 23. The Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, two manner of people. And I just tried to describe that, this war between the old man and the new and the believer. But this is also, as Romans 9 says, this is election. The purpose of God according to election. The children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. As it is written, it was said unto her, Jacob have I loved. Well, who's Jacob? He's a sinner. But God loves him. God chose him. What's Jacob's hope? God. Sovereign election. Sovereign mercy. Blood. He was given the blood atonement. Not Esau. Given a new heart. But you see, Jacob have I loved. This is a picture. This is election of God's people. And we read that in Romans 9. It's not of him that willeth. Is it? Of him that runneth or worketh. No. It's of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. And they both showed that one wanted the birthright and the other one didn't. I tell you that. Esau said, I don't need God or anything to do with God. Jacob said, I do. And he loved God. God loved him because God loved him. And then the Lord said to Rebekah, and I close, two nations are in that womb. Two manner of people shall be separated. They're two separate people. Sanctified, separated. One belongs to God, the other one doesn't. One's loved by God, the other one hates him. One's going to live forever. He said, I'm the God of Jacob. The other one's going to die. Is there this struggle within you? If there's life, if Christ is in there, there will be. And it's going to go on all the day. Now look at this blessed promise. One people stronger than the other. We think that old man, David said, my enemies are strong. They're lively. They're old. This old man's been with me since the day I was born. This old man's been with me now for 66 years. Some of you 70 and 80, 90. He's still there, isn't he? You know what God said? The elder shall serve the younger. Sin shall not have dominion over him. He seems strong. No, sir. Romans 6 said, sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Christ said, I have overcome. You trust me. Look to me. He that believeth on the Son hath life. That's why they're just struggling there. And will not be ashamed. Your sins are not going to kill you. That plague of your heart, he said in Exodus 12, will not kill you. Why? The blood's on you. And the Son of God's in you. And that old man serves a purpose. Humble you. Keep you broken. Keep you calling on the Lord. And there's a new man in there. Why am I? I don't understand this. Do you understand now? Why you're thus. And it's never going to get any better. If not, it'll get worse. Do you not look, that says 2 Corinthians 4, the old man perishes. When you look in the mirror at yourself, what do you think? You like what you see? But there was a time you probably did. Right? When you were young and beautiful, didn't you? Look at me. You couldn't walk by a mirror without looking at it. Now you don't want to look at it. Right? Oh yeah, when you look at it now, you young people can't enter into it. But it's so. You look in the mirror and say, oh, I'm getting so ugly. And then you look in this mirror. A man looks in the face. His face looks in this mirror of God's Word. You know what you see? If you see yourself, you say, in my flesh, brother, no good thing. I'm ugly. I'm dying. In me is sin. There's nothing but sin in me. Turn to a page and try to find something good about it. You can't find anything. It magnifies, like he's magnifying me. You see every spot, every blemish, every gray hair or no hair. Look at me. I'm dying. That's all I am. It's flesh. That which is flesh is flesh. But God, if he shows you another face, if you show, there's another face in here. Keep looking. And you'll behold, as in a glass, the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Altogether lovely. You say, I want to look like that. You know what God says? You do. You do. You just can't see. You will. We're going to strip this flesh off you someday. We're going to lay it in the grave. It's going to rot and never be seen again. And this new man created the image of Christ. And I love that story. It was Christiana and her companion when they crossed the river and they looked at each other and they shed those garments, those fleshly robes, and it said they just looked at each other and stared. And one said to the other, you look so beautiful. And she said, no, you look beautiful. They both looked like Christ. And see, that new creature's there. And how you know it is you say, why am I this? Why is this going on? What's happening to me? It's never happened before. And God promised you. Isn't this a wonderful promise? That old man, he serves a purpose. He does. He's going to be with you. He needs to be with you forever. An enemy. You need an enemy. Because when you're weak, you see, he seems stronger. But when you're weak, Christ is strong. Yeah. And Satan, God will bruise Satan under your feet. Okay, John, you come lead us in singing.